You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We'll be talking this week with CEOs and leaders from across the D.C. area about leadership. We want to find out what's in the portfolio of these leaders. We're going to find out on Leaders Portfolio today. Also want to remind you to nominate a business or individual right now for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. We're looking for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. We want to thank you if you have already nominated or applied for this. We really appreciate it. And you can visit leadersportfolio.com for details. Time's running out, so get that in. Few weeks to go. And then, of course, we're going to announce our winners on air, which will be great. Our first guest on Leaders Portfolio today, President and CEO of Beacon Associates, Ms. Carol Kofinke. Beacon Associates is a management consulting company in Bel Air, Maryland. They have approximately 150 employees, both commercial and public sector clients. Welcome, Carol, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, explain, your firm specializes in organizational effectiveness, technology services, and support services. Explain what your firm provides folks.
Those particular services are for the federal government. Okay, so we're 90% a federal contractor. We also do 10% of our work with the private sector. The organizational effectiveness, so much to do with workforce. Measuring workforce, planning for the workforce, improving the competencies, developing the training, and doing performance management. So it's a lot of really cool stuff, which of course is the heart of any organization. Support services is really the type of service that the government will outsource. Okay, so they might outsource administrative support or training support or warehouse management or financial management. They might, you know, a lot of different things in support services that we do, all for the federal government. And then our technology division is our youngest division, so we just are starting to do some application development for some organizations. On the commercial side, we have some wonderful customers already, Fortune 100 customers, doing things around performance improvement.
And the commercial division, you just launched a year ago. So, of course, I'm going to have a question for you about, launching that in the middle of a recession. How did that, talk about that?
It was really so fortuitous. There were these two gentlemen who had their own tiny firm, and they never thought they wanted to be anything bigger. But, of course, they were struggling a little bit in the economy. And they came to us. We had a number of meetings. We clicked really well. They said, we want to fold our business into your business. They've done work with so many large companies. A list that is really impressive. And they said, but we would like to join. We'd like to be part of something that's growing. So we'll bring you our customers and our proprietary methodologies. And let's do it together. And that's what we've done. It's been a huge success.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And you won the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. That's a tongue twister. In the business services category in Maryland. And so I wanted to ask you, what are some entrepreneurial decisions that you've made?
Well, starting the company,
let's talk about that. It was kind of a crazy story you started it.
Yeah. I've been in healthcare all of my career, most of my career, mostly in behavioral health. And that industry has done a tremendous amount of merging and acquisition and, combining hospital systems, which means eliminating people. And I had been caught in two downsizings in that career. And the second time I decided, I wanted to take my destiny in my own hands. It's time for me to go out. I think I've learned enough. I was 52. I have learned enough that I have something to offer. So I thought I was just going to go out and be a management consultant and have maybe some colleagues who would help me on occasion, but not really start a whole firm. But it turned out I just stayed open to the opportunities, and an opportunity came to do some work with the federal government. It's very exciting work. I loved it, and I made a decision at that point to really put my focus on building the federal sector practice. It's a very different world than commercial, and as a brand new company, I couldn't do both simultaneously. So I had to say, this is what I'm going to do, and that's what I did. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of referenced this, but you were previously CEO of a multi-state 300-employee healthcare organization.
Right. Yeah, and I loved healthcare. It was behavioral health. Worked a lot with chemically dependents and their families, and some psychiatric disorders. And it was fascinating. But I had been promoted a number of times, and so my specialty had become management, not healthcare. And it always really had been more in a management side. And after being, you know, once you're CEO of a system like that, you know a lot about HR and finance and policies. You mm-hmm. learn the whole yeah. thing. So I felt like I was ready to go out and do it.
And looking back, are you glad you did?
Oh my gosh. It was the best decision I ever made. And I will tell you that when I was downsized the last time, I had an opportunity to stay with the hospital at a reduction in salary and a reduction in position. And at first I was like very excited that, because I loved what I was doing and I, you know, I still had a job, but boy, my gut told me over the weekend, this is absolutely the wrong thing for you to do. You don't know what you're going to do, but that's not what you should be doing. So I called on Monday and I said, no, I'm not going to take it.
Interesting. And that field's struggling now.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a double thank you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, just the level of joy and satisfaction and compensation, I mean, from top to bottom, has been the best decision I've ever made in my life, except maybe marrying my husband.
Oh, that's good. I like that answer. I like that answer. And did you, are you working more now or more before?
Rebecca, I'm going to tell you that I have a huge value on work-life balance. And it's one of the reasons I've been successful in every job that I've ever had. I was actually promoted 6 times in 7 years in that healthcare system. And I don't work weekends. On occasion, of course you do. Evenings, I do what I need to do. But I work hard. I'm extremely efficient. But I need my time, my boundary, mm-hmm. so that I can replenish and recreate my energy and go back with just a, you know, huge level of energy.
Have you ever turned down a client because it would make you work on weekends or because they weren't a right fit or for some other reason?
I don't think that. Yeah, actually, there have been several. We have a lot of opportunities to bid on things that mm-hmm. come through the company. And we have a very formal bid, no bid process. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I would never make a decision because it was too much work, though, because I would expect to be paid for that. And I have a great team and we would spread it out. And when we do a lot of really hard bids, we do work through the weekend. We do work late into the evening. And that's everybody knows why we're doing it. And mm-hmm. we make that up to them. And, you know, we try to give and take on that. But generally, I believe that, you know, we have the resources that we need. And we just go after what seems to be a good fit for us generally.
Now, you your background is you have a master's education from Boston University. And you have your undergraduate degree is in music. So I want to ask you about that. was intent to be a musician? And what do you play?
I studied voice at what is now McDaniel College and did music education. So I never was going to be a professional performer. But it's interesting that I do think there is a fit in that, you know, there people who go into the arts are creative people. I mean, they're looking for an outlet for their creative energy in some form. And I have found since I started the company that that has been the most amazing outlet for my creative energy because you're building something from scratch. I mean, how more creative is that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think my personality, by having this sort of really strong creative drive, has served the company really well.
Okay. And do you still sing?
For fun.
Okay. Beacon Associates, where's the name from?
When I started the company, I actually gave a lot of thought about coming up with a name that would represent what message I wanted to give to our customers. And I saw the beacon as sort of the guiding light to finding their desired outcomes, their best solutions. And that's where, and plus I'm in Havity Grace, you know, we have the big lighthouse and the Chesapeake Bay area. So it seemed to be a good symbol.
We're speaking with Carol Kofinke, president and CEO of Beacon Associates. And Carol, you have 150 employees. They're across the country, 20 different sites.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start expanding and deciding what your site selection would be like?
Well, actually, that was the result of certain contracts that we won. One contract we won with Health and Human Services had 10 sites that we had to put people in all over the country, from San Francisco to New York, Boston, Atlanta, all over the country and in between. So that mm-hmm. That kind of contract sort of established that. So I would say all of the places where we have employees in other states are the result of a contract requirement.
And how do you manage from afar?
That's becoming more of a challenge. And one of the things that I am going to be focusing on more this year, it's so much easier to help people feel connected to your company and to your corporate office when you're within, you know, driving distance. We have a corporate office in Greenbelt. That one's easy. We've got one in Rhode Island, less easy. And then we've got all these people all over the country. And so I've been actually studying some models like Howard Schultz from Starbucks. I figure, how the heck does he help his people feel connected? And one of the things that's very important to me is that people feel connected and they feel valued in the work that they are providing for us. So I am made a commitment to actually go out and visit our employees as well as our customers more this year.
Talk to me about your leadership philosophy.
Well, from a philosophy perspective, I think that the leader makes or breaks an organization. I do not think there's anything more important. And if you look at the huge failures of organizations and companies over the last couple of years, the very famous ones, it was about leadership and losing sight of values and losing sight of what's best for the company. So I think the leader, besides being the visionary for the organization, is also the developer of the culture. And the culture is so critical in having a successful company. This is something that will attract great talent, it will retain great talent, and it will ensure great productivity, commitment, and loyalty. So I think that's one of our biggest tasks and one of the most important things that we do as leaders. And I'm very collaborative in my approach. I have an amazing management team. I know what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, very important. I use the resources that are available to me so I can make good decisions.
Excellent. Excellent. And you have 90% federal or 90% public sector, and then you started this commercial division. Talk to me about, you know, when you first started commercial, I mean, were you 30% commercial, you know, more, and you've had to pull back, or has it just been growing because you kind of acquired this commercial segment? And talk to me about that kind of thing.
The first year that I was a consultant, before I actually incorporated, which is 2002, or I incorporated in 2003, probably I was 50-50, but it was not that much revenue. I was just starting the company. Then that opportunity came up with the federal government, and as I explained, I decided I had to go that route. And we were actually 98% federal until a year ago when these two gentlemen came to me.
Joined you.
Yeah, and I think it's a great approach for us.
Well, I want to say thank you for being with us, Carol. I appreciate it. And best of luck with Beacon Associates.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been great talking with you.
Beacon Associates here with us on Leaders Portfolio. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.